Blog Talk Radio.
For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Remember how short my time is. Wherefore hast thou made all men in vain? Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. But he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?
Wenda.
I hope that all of you are enjoying the broadcast that you're listening to right now. We appreciate each and every last one of you, our faithful listeners and supporters of the Straight Way Truth radio broadcast. We try to make sure that we do our due diligence and do our best to ensure that you have the best broadcast, as well as the truth, coming to you in the hour that we're living in right now. If you would like to help us in this endeavor, your offering will be greatly appreciated in the work of the Ministry of the Most High Yah. Our mailing address for your gift, offering, or letter of support is Charles Dowell Jr. That's Charles Dowell Jr. And Dowell is spelled D-O-W-E-L-L. 506 Ellington Drive. Ellington is spelled E-L-L-I-N-G-T-O-N. P.O. Box 32, Lafayette, Tennessee. And Lafayette is spelled L-A-F-A-Y-E-T-T-E. 37083. Again, our mailing address is Charles Dowell Jr., 506 Ellington Drive, P.O. Box 32, Lafayette, Tennessee, 37083. If you would like to contact us by way of phone, the country code is 1, area code 615-688-3025. That's 1-615-688-3025. You may leave a message there, and be the Father's will, we will do whatever we can to try to return your message. It is our hope and our prayer that as you continue to listen to the Straight Way Truth ministry, and as you apply the teachings of this ministry, that you are finding peace and growth within you, your family, and life as well. Please tell others so that the truth may also have an impact and touch others' lives so that they may enjoy the benefits of the truth of Jesus Christ just like we all are. Shalom, the King is coming.
Oh, praise Yah, saints of the Most High Yah. Shalom, family, on this first day edition of Blog Talk Radio, Teacher Shane here this evening on this edition. I pray all is well with the righteous, all that is gathered in this room, into this fellowship. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, thank you all again for joining us this evening, as we are here to strengthen that which remains. The gospel has the poor. The poor has the gospel preached to them. Oh, hallelujah. And the gospel does have the poor. Poor in spirit, poor in need. Means we are a humble people. And we're made humble by His Spirit, by what He has accomplished, what He has done for us. You know, we live each day now on this side of the impalement, learning His life, putting down our lives so that we can take on Him. And it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing, as many of us have walked the other side of the tracks, have lived the life of heathens, pagans, whatever it may be. Now you have turned the page on that life, knowing that was not your purpose. That was not the thing filling the void in your being. But the Most High Yah, through His grace and His mercy, to become aware of Him. And He done this by His Spirit. Again, it is marvelous in our eyes, saints of the Most High Yah, because we are Hebrews. We learned again yesterday, our dear pastor, our shepherd, about the truth about Hebrews, truth about the Spirit, who we are in him, who we should be in him, how we was in him in times of old, our forefathers. And these are examples and examples and whatever you may say, that we don't travel these roads again, that we don't visit these things again, that history does not repeat itself, that they that went on before us, that they did not do it in vain. We're coming to the perfect saints of the Most High Yah. We're coming to completeness. You know, and as each and every day that, you know, I'm allowed, I guess, many of us are allowed another day upon, you know, this temporal world, upon this ball of dirt called the earth, I'm thankful for his strength. More and more day by day, I really am. I am very glad to, and I know many of us are very, very elated to wake up in the morning with him on our minds and our hearts, that as we awake, all that's in our mind and our heart, and before, you know, the day is established, that we have praises in our heart for him. We have accolades, that we thank him, you know, for the night's rest, for the night's protection, for the night's shelter. And we're coming upon the day and we ask for his protection and his strength for the endeavors that we're about to partake of that day. And and like, you know, Pastor, you know, so beautifully, you know, admonished us and really beseeched us to really, you know, start out your day in these manners. We know starting out the days of in times of old, in our old life, in our old passions, in our own lust. And how these days, you know, when we woke up, you know, with the wicked spirits on our minds and our hearts, the day's troubles, tomorrow's troubles, the past troubles, you know, weighing heavy down on our back, you know, how it propelled the day, you know, the day was crap. The day was unfruitful. The day was void and vain and worthless. But now, you know, we can walk out our lives in victory now. We in Christ are set in heavenly places as him. We can rise. Saint, you can rise above the occasion. You can. If you allow him to help you rise, he shall pick you up. He is a good father. He will clothe his children. He will feed his children. He will house his children, the Hebrews, giving us a strength, a backbone, an essence. I can just go on with many words. The power of his life, he has allowed us to partake of it for him to dwell in us. And that's what we're going to look at tonight. Many of y'all have learned in, you know, scripture studies from time to time that have come to pass. I have been teaching on pretty much the tabernacle, dealing with, you know, the worldly sanctuary and bringing that which is natural first, because that's the order, and then bringing it into a spiritual understanding to, you know, who we are now. And I am very thankful the Holy Spirit, how he has meshed us together, where he has, you know, allowed, you know, give me this grace and this mercy and this privilege to bring this forth. And then Pastor, you know, to have in his heart and his mind by the Ruach, by the Father himself, to speak on the Holy Spirit. And as more and more of these days go on, we are learning. And we really, 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 really are coming to an understanding of how important it is to have the Spirit of Yah in us. It's one thing to have it upon us, as we have learned in past scripture studies and in past Sabbaths, about, you know, the forefathers that went on before us, they had the Spirit upon them, and how many great works and how many great feats of Yah were accomplished through them because the Spirit was upon them. And now here we are, as you heard and as you've been hearing in the last manifestation of Yah himself, this realm of humility that he has opened himself up to allow us an entrance into his being. Because we are, you got to understand, we are part of his being. That's the way he thinks. That's the way he has penned this. That's the way the word has come forth. Because he has deemed us as children. We now, if we want to look at it on biological terms, we are, I could say, bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh, DNA of his DNA, because of the conversion, the renewing, the reformation. And here we are, week to week, month to month, year to year, we're gaining this knowledge, we're gaining this understanding, we're getting oil in our lamps. We're getting, I mean, the Most High is providing for us much things for our journeys ahead. And it's always an imploring from the vessels of Yah to get these things in your vessels. And not only that, to have an extra, as the wise virgins, they had an extra container, an extra vessel for, you know, oil that needed to be used in time coming. He has provided all of our needs according to his riches in glory. And if we really sit back and really ponder on this and bask in this and immerse in this and really look at, you know, from the time that he opened our understanding, that he allowed us to be, you know, to come into the family, to be of the household of Hebrews, how he has provided all of our needs according to his riches and glory. Not the things that were to be consumed upon our own lust, but the actual things needed to get us home, needed to get us in a right mind, to get us clothed. Many of us, when we come into this, you got to understand we were naked. We were naked all our lifetime in our former self. So the Most High had compassion on his children's nakedness and desired to clothe us. And let him clothe you in all manner and all facets of your being, of your walk, of your existence, especially in this temporal world. Because the things he's given us now, these are things we can take with us in eternity. We're not taking this flesh, and we're not taking this blood with us. And I thank the Most High Yah for that. And when that time comes, when we hear his voice, when the trumpet heralds and sounds, hey, we can shed this temporary tabernacle, and we will be called up with him together in the clouds, and we will meet him in the air. And we're going to see the fruit of his labor take place. We're going to see righteousness prevail. We're going to see holiness engulf. We're going to see a beautiful time. Because we're joint heirs. Praise Yah, saints of the Most High Yah. Again, we've been in a study in the book of Hebrews for quite a while. And I thank the Most High Yah for this privilege, this entrance to be allowed to, you know, to minister to my brothers and sisters, those that are on the other side, hearing the voice, hearing the voices of, you know, all the ministers, you know, of the ministry. And I pray each and every one of you that you are, you know, getting yourself ready. And if you are coming out of her, you know, you Most High will equip you, you know, to help you to get out of her. He's not giving us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. We've got to look beyond these words as just, you know, ink spattered onto a paper. His words are life. And we've got to look at them and embrace them and immerse ourselves in them as life. And the only way that we can really be immersed in it is by His Spirit. We definitely need His Spirit. It is indicative. It is pertinent in this time and this hour that you need His Spirit in you. Many of you that are on the other side of this, hearing this voice tonight, you might have the Spirit upon you, but I implore you and ask you and beseech you to seek to be filled with His Spirit, because you need the power. The days are growing grossly dark. Ignorance. I've seen ignorance in this time, in this hour, as I have not seen ignorance as in 10 years ago. It's astounding. And the attack on the image of Yah, we ain't seen nothing yet. We're at the beginning, as you hear, as heard Pastor, you know, proclaim many times that we were in the time of the beginning of sorrows. And you can see, you know, those that are out there, you know, drowning in this world, how much sorrow is out there. How much sorrow is out there. But we have a treasure in us. We have a strength in us. You know, we have an anchor to our soul. We have hope. And this is not hope that, you know, that we have cultivated, that we have done the labor in. No, this is hope that has been imparted to us by His Spirit. And the Most High Yah would love us enough to, you know, to impart that part of His being, hope in us, to anchor us, to help us to be rooted and grounded in faith in Him. Yes. We just need to allow it to do its work. Many of us are resisting Yah. Trust Him. Trust Him. As we continue on, saints, family, brothers, sisters, friend, foe, whatever, whoever you may be, you know who you are. I think we're closing out Hebrews chapter 8. Now, as you know, I've been looking over this and asking the Most High, asking the Spirit of Yah, I said, what shall Blog Talk, you know, what shall we minister on tonight? And as you've seen in the title, you know, talking about the first tabernacle still standing, we're going to look at that tonight. You know, there's been interjections, you know, as I've been teaching on the Tabernacle series. You've seen when, you know, we went into the natural, we went into the worldly sanctuary, and then we kind of transcended over into the spiritual. There were certain things interjected at certain times. And, you know, just certain nuggets here and there, you know, that the Holy Spirit, I believe, by His grace and His mercy, allowed it to be spoken. Tonight, you know, I think you'll be a good platform to start stitching this together for you, the saints of the Most High Yah, because we are Hebrews. And that's not a small thing. You know, even as I say the word of Hebrews, you know, it's just, it brings a humbling presence upon my being. Because he only, you know, gave a certain people that identification, if I can use the word. And I pray we must embrace it. You know, the adorning is not so much as outwardly as we see a lot of these Hebrew camps out here, you know, are showing themselves to be. And that's all they are concerned about, the outward appearance, you know. But I'm thankful, you know, by the Spirit of Yah, by his leading, that he with this ministry is dealing, you know, with, you know, the thing that is on the inside. Cleaning up the inside, you know, getting substance on the inside. And then the outside will follow what takes place on the inside. One thing, you know, as I have been in this journey, as the Most High Yah has allowed me, you know, to join myself to Pastor Charles Dow, my friend, and I do declare that, you know, with all my heart and mind and with full assurity, that this thing is so. And that, you know, Most High Yah, it's one thing I can say about this ministry, and I'm not, you know, bringing a sell point or anything about it, but I'm bringing glory to Yah, that he's dealing with the inner man. And I think that is the essence of getting this assembly together, getting this assembly cleaned up, getting this assembly perfected, dealing with the inner things of the building, as we have been talking about in tabernacle teachings. And you've seen and you've heard and you witnessed, you know, Pastor, you know, with skits and so many, you know, examples, trying to show us things going on in the spirit that we really, really, really don't get a grasp of until, you know, actually by the Spirit of Yah and the leading of Yah, that he allows, you know, these visuals and whatever it be to take place to awakening our understanding. And then once, you know, your understanding is waking, you hold on to that. That is, you know, that is the good thing. That is the substance of life that you need to harness and cleave to and put this in your bag. There might be certain aspects of you that you don't understand, and because you don't, you might not understand certain aspects of it at the time, you know, cleave to what you understand at the time and hold on to the other. Because if you go into this having not, more is going to be taken away from you. But if you continue to gather more understanding as time goes on, let Yah mature you. Don't rush Yah. Yah has his own time. Yah knows what you have need of, even before you ask. Everything is always in motion with Yah. He just wants us to come to an understanding of that itself. Praise Yah. Praise Yah. But at the end of Hebrews chapter 8, I was looking at this verse, and it says, "In that he saith," verse 13, thank you, Brother Paul, again, "for your labor of love, for your posting of your scriptures, you know, of the scriptures, the word, the definitions, for all the blog talks and whatever you found, you know, necessary to do. I thank you for it. Thank you for the weekly news broadcast. Very good. You know, that's something that, you know, we as Hebrews, you know, that family that we have a fellowship with. Thank you for that, you know, Brother Paul, you know, that entrance of fellowship there, even on that platform. Bless you all, saints. But in Hebrews 8:13, it says, "In that he saith, a new covenant." I'm reading from the King James Version here. And I notice when I read this verse, And that he saith a new covenant. The word covenant is in italicized. And when you really have an understanding of the way the King James Bible was written, the words that are italicized, you see it any time as you're reading, these words were added. These words were not originally found in the script from wherever they translated it from. So many times, you know, I read it, you know, with the italicized words, and then I read it with the omission of the italicized words, you know, to try to understand, you know, the perspective, why the word was added there. And then I try to understand and get an understanding of it without the word, which, you know, brings sometimes a very fruitful understanding. But it says, in that he saith a new covenant. And that word covenant, again, it is added. So I'm going to read it as though it wasn't there. In that he saith a new, comma. He hath made the first old, now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away. And the reason why, you know, I look at this verse and omit the word covenant, because later on it says, and that he made the first old, but there's no word covenant even within that. So I can understand first. And the what he says, new. That he saith, a new he made the first old. Why? So he can make a new. Now, that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away. Upon that understanding, you know, we're going to go directly to chapter 9, verse 1, continuing with that thought. I said before, saints of the Most High, those that have listened to, you know, the blog talks with Teacher Shane, you know, kind of, try to get away from the chapter and the verses in that saying that we don't want to break up thought. And I think in many instances, chapter and verse does break up thought. And I think, you know, even in that instance, you know, a lot of doctrines in times past, you know, have occurred because of this error. They're not, you know, as you hear a pastor, you know, when he reads certain verse, he might read one verse, but he tells you and he admonishes and implores you. You now go back and read the whole thing in context. And that's what we're dealing with here. Context as the whole thought. Because we could at any times take one verse and pull a whole doctrine and a whole lot of denominations and sects and flavors have been done through this method, not taking the whole in consideration. Hebrews 9:1, then verily, again, you read here, then verily in the King James of the first, and then you see the word covenant again in italicized, had also ordinances of divine service. And this right here, and a worldly sanctuary. So we're dealing with the first. And if many of you have been following, you know, through the tabernacle teachings, you know, I've dealt with first and last, beginning and end. So you're not understanding, a lot of you might have understanding, you know, the platform and what I am speaking from in this. So I'm dealing, you know, you can pretty much pick up that I, you know, Book of Hebrews, you know, way I've read it through the years and the way the Most High through His Spirit has helped me to comprehend it. And as what we're reading here, we know we've been dealing with the priesthood and the order of Melchizedek, and then the work of Melchizedek, and then the redemption and everything that's all in there. And now, I think what we're really getting into, as you know, Corinthians told us, you know, the first man, Adam, was of the earth, The second man, Adam, was from heaven, which was a quickening spirit from above. The correlation is there. And this, you know, I am transposing, if I can use that word, or I'm trying to bring this on a platform as old man versus new man. Know who you were before your understanding was enlightened about the Most High Yah, and you received Yeshua HaMashiach as your Savior, that you had an understanding that His blood, you received the sacrifice of the Son in your mind and in your heart as cleansing you from all your former iniquities and sins and transgressions. And because that you embrace this, then within your being, you felt a cleansing. You felt a renewing. You, the word I can say again, you was born again. So in this contrast, let us, you know, as we read, let us look on this platform in the book of Hebrews. As we you know, as you hear, Pastor, this world has really disrupted our thinking. The Greeks and the Romans and their lifestyle and their history and their language and everything, the culture, you know, that the whole world is immersed in now has, you know, tailored and ditched and vesseled and whatever, routed the way of the thinking of many. And the Most High Yah here is trying to break us out of that prison, trying to get, you know, to get us as His mind, that we're not thinking, you know, on one facet, but we're able to understand as He understands, think as He thinks, have passion like He's passion, love, you know, He's wanting us to love as He has loved, and we're learning of His love. You understand what I'm saying? You know, this thing is more than just a one-directional thing, even though it is one-directional. And what I'm saying is we have to broaden. We have to, I'm trying to bring us into layman terms. We need to quit thinking as in the way of old. The thing that has, you know, that has captivated us and has kept us in captivity. So then verily, back in verse 1, then verily the first covenant had also ordinances, or the first, had also ordinances, divine service, and a worldly sanctuary. And it says, for there was a tabernacle made. Then it says the first, listen at this, wherein was the candlestick and the table and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. Now, as I think right now in our tabernacle teachings, that's where we're at now in our approach to Yah. We're in the sanctuary. We're in pretty much, as you have learned, we're in the soul of things right now. We have left the outer court. We have left the body. We have left the flesh, and we've cleansed ourselves. We have sacrificed, you know, the deeds of the flesh, the lust and the appetites there. We've left it out there in the outer court. That thing has been put upon the brazen altar. It's been burned, and then we approach to the brazen laver. And we washed ourselves, and as we washed ourselves, we watched the blood stream in the water as the brazen laver had, you know, pretty much a highly polished bowl. We seen our reflection, we seen the blood, you know, and all this that we're doing, you know, this is really impacting us. This, as we perform this service, you know, this is, you know, really adding something to our testimony, as it did in the priest of old. You know, we're looking at this pattern as the priest of old did, and in our approach to God, nothing has changed. Nothing has changed. Nothing has changed. And the Most High Yah is wanting us to, you know, to really transcend that which was worldly now. You know, that which was a worldly sanctuary, that which was temporary, that which, you know, in times of old, he dwelt in that tent, he dwelt in that tabernacle. But now he dwells in us. The beautiful thing when you contrast the two. But the first had ordinances of divine service and a worldly sanctuary. And I really put emphasis on that because that was the first. For there was a tabernacle made the first, wherein was the candlestick and the table and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. And it says, and after the second veil. These are words we really need to pick up on. And after the second veil, because if we're saying there was a second veil, then there must have been a first veil to enter into. For us, you know, to leave the brazen laver after we had cleansed ourselves, now we are ready to enter. We're ready to leave the body, the outer court. Now we're getting ready to get into the soul of things, but we must pass through a veil. And after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, it had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein was golden pot that had manna within it, and Aaron's rod that budded within this ark, and the tables of the covenant, which was the tables which Moses received on the mount. And it's still talking about this ark in verse 5. And over it, the cherubims of glory. Notice it. Over it, the cherubims. Cherubims. Cherubims of glory. Shadowing the mercy seat. Of which we cannot now speak particularly. Now it says, now when these things, what we just read, were thus ordained, the priest always went, when they were established, when this first tabernacle and second tabernacle was established, and all the furniture and all the vessels were ordained, and they were put in their proper perspective and their proper order. Now when these things were thus ordained, the priest went always into the what? First tabernacle, accomplishing the service of Yah. It always went into the soul of things. But into the second, which we learned was the holiest of all, we had priests going into the sanctuary. Now we got one priest going into the holiest of all. But the second went the high priest alone once every year, and not without blood, which he offered one for himself and for the errors of the people. And in verse 8, the Holy Ghost this signify that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest. What? And first time I ever read this, it kind of floored me. I know we've been over this time and time again, but it's good to rehearse this in your ears. Rehearse it in your hearts. I do this pretty much once a year, you know, this teaching on this matter. Holy Ghost is signifying that the way unto the holiest of all was not yet made manifest. I'm thinking, it just got through the verse before, and the second went to high priest alone once every year, entered into the holiest of all. And then this verse is telling me, now the Holy Spirit is signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest. I'm like, what? What are you saying here, y'all? What are you trying to portray here, y'all? And it finally clicked. And that's what we're going to get into here a little bit. The Holy Soul was not made manifest. Why? While the first tabernacle was yet standing. Let us look at that. Now later on in Hebrews chapter 10 verse 19 it says this. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Now, what we all read here, you see, nothing has changed. There's nothing new about this service, nothing new about this pattern. But we, therefore, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into what? The holiest, by the blood of Jesus. How? By a new and living way, which he, Yeshua HaMashiach, hath consecrated for us. And how did he consecrated that for us? And it says, through the veil. You remember I just got through talking about the veil? Through the veil. And which veil is he talking about? Now you listen here. Now if we're entering into the holiest of all, which veil would that be? We just got through discussing that. It would be the second veil. In the worldly sanctuary, there was a thick veil that separated the sanctuary from the holiest of all. It saturated that first tabernacle, which had the candlestick, the table of manna, and the altar of incense all overlaid about with gold, separated it from the holiest of all. Now, were certain priests throughout the whole year were allowed to enter into that first tabernacle through that first veil. But there was only one allowed to enter every year once into the holiest of all through the second veil. Now listen what we, and all this that we have learned here, we're putting line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little, but this is not for you to be a stumbling thing for you. Not to set you astray. But it says in Hebrews 10:19, having therefore, brethren, boldness. Boldness. And how we have this boldness. Not our own boldness. Boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. By a new and living way. Which he has consecrated for us through the veil. That is to say, and it says, his flesh, flesh, his flesh. Now the way, and we just read in Hebrews 9 and 8 that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest while the first tabernacle was yet standing. Again, building upon this, saints, Galatians 3:13, talking about us, we're building an understanding here. Galatians 3:13, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. And some, you know, will take that verse and say, the law's done away with. No, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse, talking about the death sentence. The wages of sin is death. But Christ has redeemed us from that curse of the law. And how did he do this? Being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Remember a while back, you know, about one the end of the tabernacle teachings. Holy Spirit prompted me to say it began with a tree and Christ ended it with a tree. Let us look at that. Let us look at that on all that we really, really have learned here. Now, Noah said, you know, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Why? Why hang on a tree? That the blessings or the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles, on the Hebrews scattered amongst the nations through Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. Why? That we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. And Yeshua had to do that. He had to, you know, he had to deal with that veil of his flesh. And we're going to look at that a little bit more in depth. Again, in 1 Peter 2:24, it says, who his own self bare our sins in his own body. I'm like, whoa, this man who knew no sin, this man who put on the body, that he took on him the seed of Abraham. But yet he lived without sin. But it's something about living in, you know, in that body, that covering, all them years yet without sin. So that at the appointed time, that it was perfect, that it was mature, that it was ready to receive all of our sins. That Yeshua HaMashiach would hold on to the point to those that were entering into the world to come, all their transgressions, all their sins, all their iniquities would be put upon that body. That body. You know, in spirit, he was the second Adam, but he was in the body and the result of the first Adam, but he was not born in sin and shaped in iniquity because of the seed of the Father. Understand us as we've been born again, as we have been in reformation, we have been, you know, renewed, that we have been born again by the seed of the Father, which is the word of Yah. But Christ, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whom stripes we are healed. And it's a beautiful, amazing thing that he, you know, he would, you know, a body that the Most High will prepare for him to come and dwell in, that he would take that body and then live the appointed time all the days without sin, just for the fact and just for, you know, for the expression of love, to put that body on a tree and then have all of our sins put upon that body to the uttermost, to the very last one, till he knew by the leading of the Father, by the Spirit, that the work was done. That he would, you know, take that living flesh body, that covering, and draw all sins to it, because it was a sinless body when it was put upon that tree. And then once it received all the sins, iniquities, and transgressions of us, it died. It died. He held on to that point. Love propelled him to that point to hold on to that very last transgression, that very last sin. The of all the children that had been given to him was put upon that body, and he slew it and took it out of the way. Why? That we, being dead to sin, should live. Now we can live. We're dead to sin. We're no longer in that body. Now we are dead to sins. We should live unto righteousness now. Live, 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 live. By whose stripes ye were healed. And we that are Christ, we are his purchased possession now. We have crucified, we have impaled the flesh with the affections and lust. Now, saints of the Most High, going back again. Well, we've covered a lot here. And I pray I'm not going too fast. I pray I'm not giving you too much. I don't want to choke you. But I pray you're taking notes and visiting this again. Because it's going to be visited and visited and visited again. Now, Genesis, we understand it began with a tree. But we know it began way before that, and we're going to look at that. But it manifested in our time. It manifested in the physical, in the garden. And I said it began with the tree, and Yeshua ended it with a tree. Ezekiel 31. Now, saints, we're talking about the tree here. This is one chapter when I thought, you know, Ezekiel 28 was something else. But as, you know, time went on, I read Ezekiel 31 and it floored me. It really floored me. And we're going to visit this again, saints. We're going to visit this again. Let me see where I want to start. We're going to start pretty much. I'm going to start at the first verse. Now, Ezekiel was a unique prophet. He's a prophet that really the Most High Yah used after Joshua to really deal with, you know, with the spirit of things. And what we're getting ready to impass here and embark on as we read, you know, is him addressing, you know, as we read in former chapters, certain kings. But he's dressing them in a unique manner. He's dressing them according to the spirit that is working in them. And as I give this, as you know, fruit for your knowledge, fruit for your understanding now, we're going to read. I'm going to read. Because as Ezekiel, as it is written here, as Ezekiel was told by the Spirit of Yah to say, you'll notice how he's speaking to these kings. And it's amazing. Really, 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 it's really mind-boggling and eye-opening. It said, it came to pass in the 11th year, in the third month of the first day of the month, that the word of Yahweh came unto me, saying, word of Yah came unto Ezekiel, saying, son of man, speak unto Pharaoh. You speak unto Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and to his multitude. Whom art thou like in thy great? Notice that. Whom? That's a question to the king of Egypt. Whom art thou like in thy greatness? Now notice here, we're talking about trees. And we read, you know, in the Gospels at times, Yeshua would talk about trees. But we as the Hebrews, you know, if we have a carnal mind, when we say trees, only thing that would come to their mind is what out there with four leaves, you know, with leaves and branches and whatever that has a bunch of leaves on it. But we, the Hebrews of the Most High, we have a little bit richer understanding. That's really why I'm saying that our understanding is a lot richer than our times of our former captivity. Listen at this. Whom art thou like in thy greatness? Listen. Behold, the Assyrian was a cedar in Lebanon. What is a cedar? A cedar is a type of tree. And it was, behold, the Assyrian was a cedar in Lebanon with fair branches and with a shadowing shroud and of high stature, and his top was among the thick boughs. And it said the waters made him great. And the deep set him up on high with her rivers running about his plants, and sent out her little rivers into all the trees of the field. Now, if any of us had read Genesis and read from, you know, Genesis 1 and on, you could start picking up, you know, what is really going on here. Because you hear, you know, the spirit of Yah, he hovered upon, you know, and covered the face of the deep. But we're not going to get into that. And set him up on high with her rivers running about his plants, and sent out her little rivers unto all the trees of the field. And it says, therefore, his height was exalted above all the trees of the field, and his boughs were multiplied, and his branches became long because of the multitude of waters when he shot forth. Now notice, you know, what was feeding him? Water, water, water. There was a certain river, her rivers. They set him up on high. The deep set him up on high with her rivers. She nourished this tree. And then this nourishment, what made him great. And this nourishment was not supplied by him, but we're going to see a turn of events here. And his branches became long because of the multitude of waters when he shot forth. Now, I'm going to tell you, you know, what we're getting into here is almost indicative of what, you know, the Hasatan is upon this world today as this tree. Listen, said all the fowls of heaven made their nest in his boughs, and under his branches did all the beasts of the field bring forth their young, and under his shadow dwelt all great nations. Thus he was fair in his greatness, in the length of his branches, for his root was by great waters. And it said the cedars in the garden of Yah. Oh, here we go. The cedars in the garden of Yah could not hide him. The fir trees were not like his boughs, and the chestnut trees were not like his branches, nor any tree in the garden of Yah was like unto him in his beauty. And Yahweh said, I have made him fair by the multitude of his branches. Why, Yah, did you make him fair by the multitude of his branches? Why? So that all the trees of Eden that were in the garden of Yah envied him. Therefore, thus saith Yahweh Elohim, because thou hast lifted up thyself in height, and he has shot up his top among the thick boughs, and his heart is lifted up in his height, I therefore delivered him into the hand of the mighty one of the heathen. Now you understand why he's the God of this world. And I delivered him into the hand of the mighty one of the heathen. And this mighty one of the heathen, he shall surely deal with him. I have driven him out for his wickedness. Later on, says in verse 13, you know, because the Most High is bringing him down, because, you know, we're in the time of this taking place, the manifestation of Yeshua to destroy the works of the devil. Verse 13, upon his ruins shall all the fowls of the heaven remain, and upon the beast of the field shall be upon his branches. Why? To the end that none of all the trees by the waters exalt themselves for their height, neither shoot up their top among the thick boughs, neither their trees stand up in their height. All that drink water, for they all delivered unto death, to the nether parts of the earth, in the midst of the children of men with them that go down to the pit. And thus saith Yahweh Elohim, in the day when he went down to the grave. You hear that? Grave. He said, I caused a mourning, and I covered the deep for him. You remember, you know, in Genesis, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, the covering. Not going to go no farther there. Back in Genesis, let's look at this with this understanding of the trees. And we understand that this being was a tree in the Garden of Yah. 3:1, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which Yahweh Elohim had made. He said unto the woman, yea, hath Yah said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, Yah has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest you die. Now we understand from Ezekiel 31 that this tree was higher than any other trees in the garden. Verse 4, and the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For Yah doth know that in the day ye thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as mighty ones, knowing good and evil. And then when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that the tree, it was pleasant to the eyes, and that a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. It says, and the eyes of them both were opened, and they were naked. They knew they were naked. And this same tree, I believe, they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Amazing thing. As we read here, he began with a tree, and it ended with a tree. That we see one tree that was arrayed in great glamour, great stature, great height. Most I, yeah, I set him up so. There was a purpose that I have done this in the physical. Because, again, in Ezekiel 28, there was this being. There was this being. There was this being that was made. And it says to Ezekiel, Yah to Ezekiel, Ezekiel 28, verse 12, son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, thus saith Yahweh Elohim, thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of Yah. Every precious stone was thy covering. The sardius, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle and gold, for the workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. And it's an amazing thing that in the service of the tabernacle, the high priest that went into the holiest of all once a year adorn the same jewels upon a breastplate upon his chest. And we read in Hebrews, there were two cherubims overshadowing the mercy seat. And in verse 14 of Ezekiel 28 says, "Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of Yah, and thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. And thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence." Remember what we read in Ezekiel 31, the trees envied him. The waters made him great. And they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore, I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of Yah, and will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thy heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground and lay by thee before kings, that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries. You remember in Hebrews, he did away with the first, that he may establish the second. The first tabernacle was the sanctuary. And we see here that this anointed cherub that covereth, he defiled the sanctuary by his doings. And it was prophesied of the one that said, Thou body hast thou prepared me. You read in Isaiah said that we would not look upon him as something of great beauty, that he would not be comely, not as this being was, and it was corrupted by his own beauty, but this one that had a body come down in that state of humility, in that body. And he did not let that body, as Lucifer did in that body, that covering that he had, corrupt him. Even though while he was yet in the garden, Yeshua was fighting with that covering, with that flesh, trying to, that it had a voice, and it had a will of its own, and it had its own appetite and its own lust that it was trying to persuade Yeshua HaMashiach to do its will. But we see, you know, in the garden where this took place, it's amazing, it took place in a garden, huh? As well as this took place in a garden. That Yeshua finally overcome that covering, that body, what it was speaking to him. Said, "Not my will, but thy will be done." Because he had made a declaration. He had made a testimony. "I come to do thy will, O Yah. In the volume of the book, it is written of me to do thy will." So the word of Yah coming to him and it strengthened him. So that he could receive the stripes and go on, that body would receive the stripes, whereas we were healed. And then take that body with all the stripes in a living condition, somewhat, still breathing, still blood pumping through it, then have it impaled, nailed to a tree, put all the sins as what was done in the outer court by the priest. But he himself, when he offered himself, took the sins of all, laid it upon that body, and slew it. What a great slaughter it was. So that we can forsake that old man, that we no longer are in the existence of that first tabernacle wherein we first walked, but that now we're living a new and living way. We are in the quickening We are in the life of Christ. We are his body. His body is alive. That former body, our former body, if we are crucified, if we are paled with him, old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. We get a little understanding of why the tree, why the garden. Again, we visit again. I want to visit again upon all that our ears have heard, upon that we have fellowship tonight. Hebrews 10:21 again, and having a high priest, having a high priest over the house of Yah, which we are the house of Yah, says, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. It's amazing what Yeshua had done. That being Lucifer defiled the sanctuaries. And the contrast is beautiful, that the priest, the high priest, went alone once a year with blood. And then, you know, we read that there was an ark in the holiest of all. And this priest would enter into that with blood. And he would take this blood and sprinkle it upon the mercy seat between the two cherubim. Now, we read from Ezekiel that Lucifer was a covering. Now, you really, really look at what's going on here. Now, you see the priest applying blood at a place where the feet of the cherubim was. That blood was there to provide an atonement, a covering. Because the Most High Yah abode between the two cherubim that had their wings overspread in a shroud about, covering. You know, the Most High Yah, covering, wings touching. And right below that mercy seat, right below that blood, was two tables of stone, the commandments, Aaron's rod that budded, and the golden pot that had manna. When that blood was applied once a year, for that whole year, it appeased. It was an acceptable sacrifice for the time then. But as you see, as time went on, that the heart of the Hebrews, the being of the Hebrews, the soul of a people departed from the Most High Yah. And in doing so, the sanctuary again became polluted. Now you see Yeshua HaMashiach taking his own blood, and he had to go clean the heavenlies. Clean the heavenlies. It just says, as the priest, doing what Moses had received from the mouth, the priest applying the blood on the mercy seat upon a place at the feet of the cherubim. And we read here that this Lucifer, this being, had defiled his sanctuaries. Yeshua had to go up there with his own blood in the heavenlies and then clean it up with his own blood. And in doing so, because of our mind and our will and our emotions that abide in the soul, and when the blood is applied, it is cleansed. Our conscience is purged because of his blood. If we allow his blood to do it through faith. This is a beautiful thing when it takes place, that the remembrance of what you used to do, that your former passions and your former desires and your former dreams are no longer there, that the blood of Yeshua has washed them clean and has covered them. And then it's not covered just for 1 year. Now it's covered for eternity. That he would come in such a lowly estate, being made a little lower than the angels because of the covering, the body of Lucifer versus the body of Christ. Whereas one's lifted up because he thought, you know, all this was emanating from his own being. And as one in humility bowing down and saying, I do this not of my own accord, but of Yah. He boasted not in his own worth, but the one that sent him. And that's why we boast. And that's where our boast is, not in ourselves, but in the one that sent us. Even though we might be in these temporary tabernacles, we know that our true tabernacle is up in heavenly places where moths and thieves and nothing can corrupt. And we're waiting to be clothed upon that house, because he said he's going to go away and he's going to prepare a place for you, that when I come again, there you will be with me also. So this is just a little insight, a little snippet, you know, of really this great work that is going on, that the Most High is really, really, you know, trying to teach us first that which is natural, then that which is spiritual. Because, you know, he wants this thing to be complete, mature. We serve by Elohim. It has no false balance. And we see a lot of these camps out there have a lot of false balance. They got all this word, but no spirit. And the word, that body, a body is of no use without a spirit. As you know, we had our brother James come before and testify that it is dead. That in this tabernacle, that your faith without works is dead. So saints of the Most High, we've really, woo! By the word of Yah, I've looked at a lot tonight. I mean, woo! Even this is, you know, as you know, it's being revisited. Even more is being opened up at this whole purpose. I mean, this, as you've heard, this marriage between Yah and his bride, begotten us again into a lively hope, that he is, you know, as pastor, you know, used, you know, and Yahweh used Hosea as, you know, a reflection of us being a whore, and told that prophet to love that whore. Now he has showed us his love immensely in this hour, after we have, you know, went after many lovers. But now I hope, saints of the Most High, we have met the one and true and main lover, that we will not depart from him, that he has made us new again, that in us he renewed us again as virgins. We are no longer whored to this world, that anything and everything is going. I mean, it is a sad thing that we open up our beings to bitterness and to hatred. You know, that's a whoring type of attitude. When the saints, you know, open themselves up to anger. Oh, come on, anger, and have sex with me. You know, let's go over here and fornicate a little bit with bitterness, and fornicate a little bit with backbiting. And it's amazing, because, you know, in any time, you know, offenses are over, solacing her bed. I mean, the sweet odors and she's waiting on the street corner, waiting to deceive the simple young man. So the Most High Yah wants us to think very, very different in this time and this hour. And I know he does not want us to be ignorant saints of the Most High Yah. Oh, he does not want us to be ignorant. Well, saints of the Most High Yah, I thank you and bless you again for us having the ability to break bread and to, you know, really, really talk about the only thing that's really worth talking about, Yeshua HaMashiach, because this is all it's about. And to learn of him, you know, is awesome. It's beautiful. I mean, we can have many names for our Savior. And I thank Yah for a heavenly language that, you know, I can, you know, break out of this temporal language and get into the spirit and really, really, really get a connection with the Most High Yah. Because thanks be to Yeshua HaMashiach that we have boldness to enter into the holiest of all by the blood of Yeshua HaMashiach. And that by our tongue and by our testimony and by what, you know, his spirit has wrought in us, that we can allow that language, that tongue, to really, from the incesses of our being as being a new man and the inner man being able to link up with the Most High Yah and have communion with him every second, every minute, every hour, whatever time of day you have need to get with your lover, to get with the one that you're Googled out about, Yeshua HaMashiach. Oh, hallelujah, Yahweh Elohim. Well, bless you all, saints of the Most High Yah. Hallelujah. Wonderful journey again. Wonderful fellowship again. I thank Yah always for being a vessel. And I pray each and every one of you that have the Spirit in you, that you will be strong in the days coming and do exploits. We're so overridden with our own, especially we bring our own infirmities and our own weaknesses into this walk, which that thing should have been put upon the tree. Because we really relish in our weaknesses and our shortcomings and everything. We're almost as Lucifer, you know, looking upon his own brightness and using that as a crutch not to serve the Most High, not to be a willing vessel, not to submit, and not to be humbled. You heard Pastor gave a great example, you know, to the sisters. You know, y'all been in marriage this many years. You know what you look like. You might have put on 10, 15 pounds. What? He still loves you. You just got more to love. I mean, you know, we really got to, we hear things on one perspective, but we really got to get to an understanding on another perspective, on his perspective. What is he really saying to us? What is he really enjoining to us? What is really being communicated? Because those that are carnal, oh, they will hear, oh, he's bashing the sisters again, you know, belittling them and everything. But those who are of the Spirit will hear by the Spirit. They'll hear the shepherd's voice. And that's why the true Hebrews are coming to hear the voice. Well, yeah, that's not the voice. Most High Yah is going to use what he wants to use, and he will speak through who he wants to speak. This is his doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Marvelous in his eyes, and we'll rejoice and be glad that we'll be able to be made partakers of it. Because once this thing is over, we're all still going to get a penny. We're going to be in the kingdom. We're going to be away from the sorrow and the pain and the tribulation of this world. So there's good things coming. So again, began with a tree, ended with a tree. You began born in sin, shaping in iniquity. Hopefully I say your ending is that the author and the finisher of your faith have made thee whole. Because blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. Bless you all, saints of the Most High Yah. Hallelujah. 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 Definitely the King is coming. Shalom.